All right, troops. Hello and welcome to That Mental Ginger Show with your host, Andrew Durning, a.k.a. The Mental Ginger. Well, my three faithful followers, in the last episode we had the Padawan of Mob Radio. Today we get to speak to the Jedi Master, the international Irishman, the one and only, the Seamus Trainer of Mob Radio. Seamus, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Andrew. Doing very well. And you?
I'm not bad, thank you. We're just plodding away with the interviews. Like I said, I had your Padawan on in the last episode, Emma. She was absolutely brilliant. Well, definitely a star in the making. I can see what you've saw in her.
Yeah, an amazing young lady. We had a birthday party for us. You know, you were at it last Sunday for only 14. Brains to burn. She's smarter than me, looks better than me, and has a unique style all of her own, which I just let her go with. It was a unique style. I discovered them in Romania, and quite by accident, she's actually the sister to Tiana. And Tiana's an amazing singer, especially in the rock genre. And I met Emma there, and I got friends with Emma, and I discovered that Emma was talking to me about stuff that I normally would run away from, you know, the most boring subjects in the world. And she made them seem interesting. And I thought to myself, I could do with an interview from our radio, especially one that speaks Romanian. So bang, that's how we hooked up.
Oh, that's good. Well, you're already started on what I would class as my first question. I like to hear about the origin story of my guests, because the one thing we all have in common, we all have an origin story. So Seamus, in your own words, please tell our listeners your origin story.
Are you telling me the whole life story, or just when I started in the actual entertainment business?
We want to hear the whole thing about the Seamus. Where he started, how he grew up, what drove him to what he's doing today. Just in your own time, in your own words. And if I've got any questions, which I normally do, I'll just jump in and ask them. I'm very curious that way.
Well, I'm getting long on the tooth. I have to switch this off, because that'll just keep going now. I'm getting long on the tooth. I'm 58 now. I don't know how that's still ringing. It's off. It's unbelievable. But I tell you, the public never leave you alone, Andrew. Did you notice that?
They really don't. Well, the three people that follow this never leave
me. You have more than three followers. You have loads more than three followers. I know that for a fact, because at least 15 of my fans have become your fans. So I know you have more than three followers. Yes.
That was a bit weird though, because after that episode, some of your subscribers followed me. It went up to went from 76 to 91, and then it dropped to 74, and then went back up to 76. So YouTube, if you're watching, get your analytics sorted, mate. I'm trying to climb the ladder here.
Yeah, trying to climb it. And so did you get them back?
Nope, still at 76.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and see. Every Tuesday, and soon to be every Thursday as well. We've got that many guests. We're going to twice a week. But anyway, enough about me. We want to hear about the Seamus. You're the guest for the reason.
Yeah, I left school very, very early. And the reason why I do what I do now, or at least I help, I'm still technically not working. This is a hobby for me. But I decided, like, okay, I'm not well, but I want to give back to society. I don't want to, you know, I just want to give back to society. And apart from becoming a priest or something like that, I couldn't figure out a way to do it, you know. So I thought to myself, I was in an accident in 2002. And up until that, I worked in various. So I left school at 13, 14. I left school illegally, actually.
Wow.
And I started working at 14. And I was always knocked down as a young fella, you know. I was always told, like, you can't do this, you can't do that, especially by family, friends. You grew up in a society where if you got a job and you got the price for pints at the weekend and you were able to pay for your keep, you know, we didn't think very far ahead or long. So when about, I think it was 2010 or 2009, I forget, but it was 2010 when I was always into music and I always loved music, but I was also getting depressed because I wanted to, I, I was doing nothing productive, shall we say. Nothing that wasn't all about me. You know, everything up to this stage was about me, you know, and my problems and you know, my enjoyments and my pleasure in life. Nothing was about the other people. I'm not saying it was a bad man or a selfish man, but I felt that I wasn't contributing to society. And I met a few people along the way and said, well, why, you like music, why don't you do something with music? But sure, I can't sing, I can't play an instrument. So I started DJing. And that was good fun. And I then met a woman, and I forget, oh my God, Sue Baker. Whoa, thank God I remember that. Yeah. And it was actually Sue Baker who started Mob Radio, and it was started for a guild. It's called the MOB Guild. And it's World of Warcraft based. Actually, a lot of my listeners are still playing World of Warcraft.
I'm not wrong about World of Warcraft. I never played it myself, but I always loved the parodies of it, especially the South Park version. It was just hilarious. The fact they actually had that, the creators of World of Warcraft doing the graphic designs for it, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unfortunately, I played at the top level of it. So when I started to get old, which I am, I was kind of falling down, and I was raiding with the elite teams, you know, and like they were kind of like starting to carry me, and they were only carrying me out of respect for how good I used to be, or the fact that I was aging, one or the other, and I didn't like it. Like, when I say carrying me, you know yourself, one mistake in them raids and you can ruin the whole raid, you know, you can ruin the whole boss. Well, one boss fight, you could be going back and back. One mistake, so I took it at it's mythic level now, which used to be heroic years ago, you know. And every time you climb higher and higher. So, but anyway, that's about World of Warcraft. That's how I started, though. I met Sue Baker while playing World of Warcraft, and she got me into this. And she only used to do a show once every Friday or Saturday at the weekends. And what it was all the housewives or the women got together and have a cup of tea and listen to music and talked in live chat. And I thought, so I came in and I started listening, and, you know, a few others came in and started listening. And before I got on really well with Sue, and Sue says, why don't you try it, James? And I will. And up until that point, there was about 70, maybe 80 people listening to it and in live chat, you know. So I got on to it and I said, yeah, but you could do some more if you actually played real music, you know, if you really, really got into it. And she says, okay. So I started playing, and I brought in DJ Joe, and I brought in the Lazy DJ, and I brought in all these DJs. Yeah. And before you knew it, Mob Radio all of a sudden started to have thousands of listeners instead of the tens. Yeah, it had thousands of listeners in. And she says, I give up, Seamus. Do you know what? The best thing for me to do is hand this over to you, she says, because, like, it's very demoralizing, she says, to come on and watch the radio show go, like, from 2,800 listeners to 60 or 70 when I come on and you go off. She says, I'm just going to hand the whole lot over to you. And I says, what, the whole lot? She says, yeah. I mean, you were depressed. You were looking for something to do. This is obviously it, Seamus. So that's how I got started, you know. But then it wasn't good enough just playing music. Eventually, I wanted to do a bit more, and I started getting interested in helping artists, because they were coming to me. For some reason, they were all coming to me and asking, would I play the music on the radio? They used to send me their albums. They used to send me pictures of them. They used to send me all this stuff. And I thought to myself, I think I'll start promoting a few. Why not? And instead of just playing normal music, I'd only play new artist music. It's long before Mr. Al Atkinson copped onto this. He says, we one artist in common, Daria Stefan. I became friends with Daria Stefan, an amazing Romanian singer, beautiful face, beautiful young lady. Back then, she was only a child, and with great potential. And I seen the potential, and so did Al. And Al thanked me for helping, you know, promote Daria. And he says, I actually, you know, promote her directly. And I went, oh, do you? I said, maybe we could work together. So he said, well, how do you mean? I can't do it. I said, "Why? How many artists have you got? Because I'm trying to start a new artist show. So he said, well, I have actually quite a few. And he says, what will I do? And I said, just get the music, convert it to MP3 format minimum, and send it to me, and I'll start doing new artist shows. So we started off doing new artist shows, but I actually only realized tonight before I came on with you, I think it was 2013 or late 2012, before we actually started the Al Atkinson's new artist shows. And the first show we started, right, it was like only playing new artists. And most of them, if not all of them, were kids, I think. And like we had something like back to Sue Baker days, like, you know, this when I done this show, I think there was like 76 listeners in the first show. That was the actual official number, 76. And 16 of them was us.
That's kind of like how it goes on my YouTube channel. I've got 76 subscribers, but three of them are my other channels.
well that's the funny thing about it, like, because I enjoyed it so much, and then I learned a lot from Al, and then I learned that the reason why they were all coming to me was radio stations were charging new artists for the music to be played on the radio. TV stations were charging the artists if they wanted to get a spot on a TV show. Most competitions, and I'm going as high as 70%, maybe even 80%, if you paid, you won. It's as simple as that. You won based on what your means were. And if you were from certain areas in the world, like if you were Filipino, and I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to call it out in black and white because it's the world. And if you're from the Philippines, don't be insulted. I'm just telling it as it is. And if you were from the Philippines, or if you were from Romania, or if you were from the Ukraine, and you went and you tried to get perform anywhere else, or, you know, you just your music wasn't accepted, you didn't get played by the major media. So I kind of thought, well, this is, so we're actually providing a free platform here. It's an actual radio station. So I said, let's roll with it. So we started off then, we called it, at the start it was just called Top Talent or New Talent Show or something. And we changed it to the Al Atkinson's New Artist Show. And then we were only doing one show a kind of week. And then it grew to the stage, Andrew, where it was amazing. We went from one show a week to two shows a week to three shows a week. And I was like, hold on a minute. We had country, we had rock, and we had the American show, which then turned into be the world show. We now have a kind of a European show and an American show, a country show and a rock show. And we only do it now once a month, the rock and country, and then once a month, the American and the Romanian. I call it the Romanian because it's still mainly Romanian artists that perform in that one. But it's East European and the rest of Europe, you know, and the Philippines. And that's how all that grew. That's how it all grew. It just kept growing and growing. And we were doing it every weekend. And in the end, I said, this is too much. This has become a job. It's meant to be a hobby, you know? So we cut it down to once a month. But instead of the numbers declining, they actually grew and kept growing. And the list went from, I think we 180 artists, which we were very proud of, because these are all top-class artists that can do their things. I don't know how that's ringing true. I'm sorry, the phone is actually off.
It's all right. It just shows you how popular my guest is, folks. Like, he is off the hook, literally.
Yeah, it's actually coming through, obviously, on probably some other system, but the other system's off, so I don't know how that's even happening.
On a side note, is that a gaming chair that you've got, like a red gaming chair?
It is. It's back from the days. I actually swapped around to be fancy, Andrew, because I was sitting on the other one. It's more comfortable. Yeah. Hold on, there's Messenger. That's how it's coming through. I knocked all these off. Sorry, guys. Well, that'll stop it. Now, so that's how it all grew. But like we were 180 artists, then we grew to 240 artists. And I said, stop, Al. Stop. We can't help the world. We just cannot help the world. There's only two of us. We can't help every artist out there. But like, it's kind of funny how it grew, because the family thing started pretty early, because Al actually got involved with them. He even went to Romania and the Ukraine and Moldova to visit them. And nearly every year he went. And what we discovered was like, that they wanted these young artists and a family starting off loved the support they got, even if you only supported them, like, you know, they just loved it, you know, and the encouragement. So it wasn't just about music. It wasn't just about talent. It was about getting to know the artist as a person. So we designed a formula where we just always put the artist first and we look after the artist's best interests. So no matter who you are, if you're offered a contract or something and you just are unsure, you can come to Al and come to me. We'll just proofread it off for you and we'll, you know, give you any advice you need. And if we've discovered, we've made quite a lot of people famous. But more importantly, Andrew, we've actually saved lives. I mean,
tell us a bit about that then, and how how that's happened and also how it's made you feel, because you did touch on that you had a bit of depression, and I don't obviously want to pry into that if you're not comfortable.
I myself, when I say I had a bit of depression, I wasn't diagnosed with it. I just knew that I wasn't happy. I just
Do you think it went from not being told back when you were younger that you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that? Well, I kind of had similar where in the performing arts wise, I wanted to be like an actor, or I wanted to do something in the performing arts. And I remember going to my first college audition and I didn't get in, and I asked for an honest feedback. And the exact words were, your acting was crap, your movement is shit, I advise you don't come back. And I was like, okay, there's honesty, and then there's getting hit with a shovel. But do you think it was kind of maybe like that type of thing, of people saying you can't do something, it just kind of got to you?
Probably, because you could be right, Andrew. I never thought of it that way, to be honest with you, because I never looked upon myself as suffering with depression or anything like that. I just knew that I would eventually if I keep going. I knew that I had to make a change in my life because I felt lacking.
Hmm.
I suppose the reason why I want to give so much is because I went back to school. As you know, I told you I left school early. Hmm. I think I went back to school in 2004. Or maybe 2006. And in 1 year, I achieved 4 A's in the hard subjects. One of them was maths, yes. And I realized that, oh my God, I'm not stupid. I'm actually quite intelligent. Hell, if I had to do this when I was young, before I'd done all the drinking and the booze and then everything else, golly knows what I would have achieved, you know? So your lifestyle is also fairly negative if your negativity. Look at it. If you get young people, right? This is what it boils down to, Andrew. It's the core of society. Society wants to keep you down. He wants to keep your kids down, your family down as much as possible. Because the more you're down, the more you're happy and content with the little bit you've got, the more the pie there is for them. And they get the bigger piece of the pie there. And they want to keep all that for themselves. They don't want you having it. They'll give you just about enough to keep you content. That's the way society works. In order for somebody to be rich, there has to be somebody poor. It's as simple as that. In order for you to get somebody to do something for you, you know what I mean? Like, they have to need something from you to do that. And if you're rich and they're not, well, then they need money. So therefore, you've got the money, you've got the power. And that's what it boils down to. I didn't realize that into the last couple of years as to how that's actually integrated into the whole world, not just UK, Ireland, the USA, or the Western world. It's the whole damn world.
Mm. No, definitely. And it's actually something I was thinking about today when I was driving into my work. Well, and one of the things that I absolutely hate is the existence of money. I just think it causes so much problems. It is the root of all evil. If people were able to do what they wanted to do, it would, without having to worry about monetary value, it would be great. It's one of those things. I think it's why I gravitated so closely to yourself and Mark and Kirsty for Top Talent, Wanda at Doc Entertainment. Yeah. You're not in it for the money. You're in it to help people. And that's something that's really resonates with me and I'm really passionate about.
And myself now don't actually do it at all for money. Mm. Whereas the others do need to make a living out of it. But the amount that they give, especially the amount that they give, the amount of time that they give and energy that they give to it, they're well worth whatever money they make, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, Wanda's an official agent, I think, but she only charges 15%. The average agent will charge you 25%. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
And that's one of those things that probably does why it gravitates. I mean, when I first had the very first guest on, Harmony, I got told straight away that he could be a millionaire by now, but because his heart is pure and in the right place, he's content with what he's got. And you'd rather be content in your soul and in your spirit than having the amount of money. Don't get me wrong, it would be a bonus for my kids, but for me, I've never wanted that or needed that. I just think as long as you're doing something that makes you happy.
You have to, Andrew, and stay focused. You have a young family and you've got a wife, I'm assuming, because you have a family, it normally goes together,
I did the 9-to-5 job for them, wanting to do this.
It'll be credit soon, the control will even be more so when it converts to credits, because eventually, like, the only way you get the credits is through actually the government, because, or the banking system, you know, because money, you know, so whatever money you have in the banks, it's a lot spelled down to it. But yeah, there's a lot to be said. He's an amazing guy, by the way. I'm surprised I really, really liked him. He's got great faith. And he actually practices in real life. I like him. And yes, he is part of the family. He's actually a wonderful young man with so much potential and has achieved so much.
Yeah, he's doing absolutely amazing. I'm really proud to have entered his orbit.
Right now, he wouldn't have to work again if he didn't want to, you know, because that's just the contacts and the talents he has. He's an amazing person. Mm.
So let's talk about, like, you're saying, like, the stuff that you've been doing has actually helped save lives. Like, I know that you went to Romania to see, like, Tiana and Emma. What was it like going over to Romania, like, and seeing, like, quite different from us?
The Romania now, unfortunately, I didn't really get to see much of it because I was very well minded. Like, when I got to Romania, it was to see Tiana, and Tiana and her family looked after me like I wouldn't say a king would be looked after as well. I was like brought from the hotel to the house. I was dropped back to the hotel every night. I couldn't go shopping on my own, couldn't go anywhere on my own. They went everywhere with me. They were very, very good to me. Very, very nice, beautiful family. But what I mean by that, actually their city is pretty, it's a pretty nice city. It's Bolishani. And from what I've seen, there's very little poverty in it. There is some, but very little. The thing is, it depends. You know, if you go to now Bucharest, you'll see poverty. You know, but the thing it wasn't about poverty or the poorness or that. You get so many artists that would have given up. And I'm not going to mention any names publicly, but we've met at least out of the 20 top ones that we helped. You don't make; they get there. With their talent, you just guide them. You guide them in a safe environment. You teach them. You give them that will to succeed because it's already there. But there's so many people knock them down, including their own family, who probably are getting tired of spending a lot of money on this, that, and the other, and nothing to show for it. And you know, maybe the teenager might go off it for a week or two or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and then the parents start, "Oh, why did you start in the first place? You were never really that good. That's all it takes." You were never really that good anyway. That's all it takes, you know. And there's one or two that definitely, especially Al, was called that were threatened to commit suicide, and Al would have to stay up all night. He often stayed up 24 hours in a row, talking, being available, just talking. And most of these artists wouldn't talk to anybody else, not even the parents. They'd only talk to Al, you know. And then there's situations where we knew artists that weren't able to pay the rent at the end of the month. And, you know, you'd have to, or there may be like something else would happen financially, and you'd have to talk them through it and then find out exactly what they need and help them out for at least that month or two, because obviously you couldn't help out indefinitely. There was so much more to it where we got involved. But not too much so. Thankfully, most artists, you know, are very confident and very, very, very adamant in succeeding, you know. But to see, when you see a young person, you need to encourage them. You need to encourage them to be the best they can be. And that's all it takes, you know. And if you do support them and show them that you support them, like, you know, and show them that you love them. But at the same time, be realistic with them, you know. There's an awful lot of artists that would say can sing well when they're young, and then they get to a certain age and something happens and they can't sing as well anymore. And you know, you don't turn around and say to that artist, "I'm just letting you know now, you're a brilliant singer. Stop. Forget about it. You should have never started." You know, it's back to the same old, you know. What we usually do is then we try to encourage, we always, especially with the young artists, encourage them to stay in school. Actually study very, very hard even after school, so for their homework, and do well in school, because once they have that, no matter what they decide to do when they grow up, their choices are just so much more broader, easier, and the money is so much higher, because obviously you're well educated, which means you can specialize in something that somebody else can't, you know, or at least very few people can. And you know, even if you only become a school teacher, whatever. And we know, talking about school teachers, we know one, two, three who went on to be school teachers and are very, very happy being school teachers, that, you know, were wanted to be singers, could have been singers, and we just know it's we talked to them and said, no, maybe not, you know, why? Like, Why? If you're not happy doing it, if you feel you're not good enough anymore, well, then, you know, you're your own best critic. You should know, you know. Mm-hmm. Most of them would say back at the end of the conversation, you're just too nice to actually tell me I'm bad, aren't you? And no, it's not that at all, like, you know. And so no matter who you are, what you are, no matter what you do, I think if you encourage young people to be the best they can be, they become the best they can be, you know. Mm-hmm. And that comes back in society, Andrew, because they're contributing to society then, you know. If everybody grow it, because society grows. If you can get everybody, imagine everybody in your community was productive. Imagine everybody in your community, you know, the guy that goes out and says, oh, I can't get a job. Mm. Well, you know, in this day and age, may I ask, why aren't you creating your own job? You know, it's not like the old days. You don't need to go down and buy a big warehouse to start your own business now. You can start your own business online. You know, there's so much you can do. You know, there really is. You know, and that's because they're just not productive. They will look for an excuse not to do. But Andrew, if you go back far enough, you'll find out that person, male or female, was more than likely kicked or abused or mentally abused when they were children or teenagers, and told they were useless, and told that they would never go by far, and usually by their peers, people that they look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what myself and I'll try to undo in most, and do where we see pure raw talent, we will do our utmost to make sure that the rest of the world will see and hear you. And that's where the seeing comes into it. We started a channel, I didn't think it was 4 years ago, but apparently it was 4 years ago. I thought it was only 3 years ago. We started a YouTube channel, which also we showcase these artists. Sometimes we take, if their channels are doing bad, what I'll do is I'll take the video off theirs, put it on ours to get more views, and say this, you know, introduce the artist and their channel and all their social platforms, you know. But we try to make most of our own videos of the artist if we can. I mean, 3 billion ones I got there from Tiana up on the channel, like, you know.
Wow.
And that's basically the end goal. I just love music. I love the people we meet. What I don't like is the music industry, because if you're established in the music industry, you're a shark, in my opinion, or a potential shark at least, because you're in a position to then use the gifts and the abilities of the upcoming artists to benefit you and make you richer. Do you understand me? And yeah. So in other words, by the time the artist makes it, and not every artist makes it to the highest of levels, you know, a lot of them have potential, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 now yourself that have the potential to go all the way, and they more than likely will. But like, hell, by the time they get there, you won't. Well, talk about hard work. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of them heading towards their 30s. And when you're heading towards your 30s, you're starting to think like, am I going to make it? You know, am I going to do it? But I'm getting old now, so I'd like to take me pedal off the metal.
So what do you see coming up for 2022 for yourself, Seamus Saint? You've started doing the Top Talent Live gigs, featuring really good artists, like one behind you, Memento, who are absolutely fantastic. But by the time this comes out, we'll have had Father and Son on, you'll have had King Fabs on.
We've had Dr. Funk, we've had Talia on, we've had L.A. Castello on, going to be one of the hottest. Now, I was talking about the Philippines earlier on. Mm-hmm. There's a young lady going to be a superstar beyond all doubt. And trust me, because her manager is me. seriously, she's an amazing artist. Mm-hmm. You know, we will have shows coming up. I'm holding on to my ace card. We've got a big celebration coming up on Christmas. I'm holding on to Tiana for a while before she does a live show. And I'll probably ask LA back. I would definitely love so much to have. I can't wait for King Fabs. He's amazing. I don't know whether you missed it, but he actually gave us a private show after the last show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he played two of his songs, and oh my God, just amazing. King Fabs, I love love you, man. You're just the coolest dude in the world. Yeah. And he's amazing, like, you know. And that's another thing. It just goes to show you, don't get me wrong, not everybody, like I said, not everybody in the music business is sharp. King Fabs was so nice. There was young artists there that he was encouraging with his talks and his music, and he shared it. There's beautiful people. That's why I love music. It draws beautiful people out. It brings the good out in all of us, music does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not knocking everybody in the music industry. Actually, you'll find that most people, especially the artists themselves, in other words, the performers, love it. They love what they do. They love music. And when they're in that zone, it's like a one big major family. I mean, you go to any concert, and for that hour and a half, that's just one big massive family.
Mm-hmm.
They all love each other because they all love the band or the artist or whoever is performing at the moment, you know, and that's it, you know, and they remember that night then for the rest of their lives, even if they go and see the same band for five or six concerts, each concert is remembered, you know, and each concert will have its story. And that's the beauty of music. So music inspires people and it brings people together. And talking about Tiana, she says it's an invisible link that bonds us all, you know. Mm. That's what it is.
It really is. I always say, I think music's the great equalizer. Well, because it doesn't matter where you're from or what your skin color is, what you do, what it balances everything out. Everybody loves music. What, maybe the genres are different, but we all love music. What, in some form or another.
The actual live shows, they'll be going on every Sunday or at least every second Sunday. We may cut them down to every second Sunday, but they'll be going on every Sunday anyway. They're going to be free. They're just actually basically a place to encourage the young artists. We've got artists who want to do it but are scared to do it for various reasons. One of the reasons that we are so glad we have Emma now is the language barrier. Emma can cross that with the Ukrainians, with probably the Moldovians and the Romanians. So that's a big gap filler. And we have three or four artists coming forward showing interest in doing shows from there. But it's for the artists, the young artists especially, so that they can overcome, step into that, and know what it's like to actually perform in front of a crowd, even though it's only an interactive crowd, it's virtual, it's still 49 screens there in front of you, and you get to see the reactions, and you get to mix with them, and it's to make it feel more family, so that they enjoy their art a bit more, and they share their art a bit more. We've had Simona on, that's young, we've had Tiana on, we've had Jaden Riley on, we've had Johnny Starks. We've had a lot on. Like it's. We only switched back to the top talent there lately. And the one thing that they all loved was hearing what the audience thought, having a conversation with the audience one by one on an interview. And the audience loved that. And it's a brilliant experience. So I know it's going to work. Unfortunately, at the moment, we're trying to raise a bit of money because, as you know, we're non-profit, we lose. And myself and Alan invest a lot of our own money into this to keep it going.
Mm. And tell my audience, like, to see if we can try and get a bit more plugs for you. Tell them about how we can help get the money raised for Mob Radio.
As you know,
I've put towards it myself. It's a brilliant cause, like, and I want to try and help you as much as I can.
Yes. Thank you very much, Andrew, by the way. Yourself, actually, and Paddy Dillon, I can name you. Paddy Dillon as well. Big shout out to Paddy Dillon. Okay, have a lot. There's three private people who donated money, and I can't mention their names. I don't know why, because they're proud of it, and they're proud of it, but they want to kind of keep quiet because they just don't want the public knowing that they donated, like, you know. And there's been a lot of donations, and we're almost to the target. The target was 1,000 euros. That's all it is. I know it doesn't sound a lot, but we're still stuck on, what is it, 385 euros. Mm. So we're still stuck on that. We have no, but the way it is, don't worry, people. This is not about money. I mean, we're going to stop it on YouTube Live, though. You can watch it on YouTube later, but we're not doing YouTube Live anymore because it's no use having 200 people watching it on YouTube and no about 27, 28 watching it on Zoom. That's not that's not the whole point of it all. It's the point is interacting with the artist, so you get the experience and the artist gets the experience. So if you want to help, just donate. There's a donate link. It's a PayPal link. And that's all you have to do. Press donate. I was going to update it. And that will be only going on now until after the King Babs. No, sorry. The Karaoke Kings show. That's only going on after that. Then every time, whatever money we've gathered then, that will be for the Zoom. We put that into a pot. I'll transfer that to Alakatsin in LA. And he'll have that in the kitty. And that'll be for the Zoom next year, which is March. Mm. And then any donations that you make after that actually go to the artist. Every single cent. This is the thing. We're in negotiations with Fee City Live. You wouldn't believe the negotiations. We're still in negotiations with Fee City Live. It's a big, it's the company starting off. We're going to help it get big. It's going to help us. We've got the artists. Blah, blah, blah. Then you decide, you go to sign a contract and start bringing it out. Who do they want to hit? The artists, you know? Now, I'm not having a go Fee City. That is the standard. Apparently, it is standard for the artists to pay for the cost of the production of the show. You know? What Fee City didn't realize and what other streamers don't realize is we actually, even though we negotiated like a company, myself, Al, and Marky, and Kirsty, we actually were only interested in getting, like, more or less the same cut as what they were. And then we would actually pay for the production costs. We were willing to pay for the production costs so the artists wouldn't have to. But this is what I'm trying to tell you, Andrew, about this industry. They just couldn't get it in their heads. No, no, no. The artist has to pay for the production. But if the artist pays for production costs, how much do you think they're going to have left? You know, they're not going to have. That's their cut. You know, the 33% is their cut. That's what they should get. Less the cost of selling the tickets. But they should end up at about 30%. I said, I mean, why do you make up false numbers? If there's a 100% sale, then you should get your 30%. You know, I should get my 30% and the artist should get the 30%. And we let the other 1% fly around the place to whoever wants it. I don't care, you know? But I mean, why? There's only three parties. So why are you making it all complicated? You know? Your costs should come out of your end. Your costs. We split the ticket sale costs. A long discussion, kept going back and forward. In the end, I just gave up. I said, we'll do one show first and then we'll discuss it again because obviously they're new to it and kind of like we aren't orthodox. Because, Andrew, I'm telling you, every company, the first thing they do is to negotiate and get as much as they can for themselves, okay? Which would be whoever it is, whoever your manager is, or whoever your record label is, they'll get as much as they can for themselves out of the deal. They won't be worried about how much they get as long as, you know, they'll try and cut as much out of them as possible, usually up to about 30%. And then they'll turn around and they tell the artist, now we have to pay costs, blah, 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 blah. And then they take that out of the cut of the artist as well. And actually, they might only give the artist then, it'll be up to them to pay the artist. So they might only give the artist 20%. I've often seen artists getting as little as 15%, you know, 20%. The artist thinks he's getting great money because he's getting $4,000 or $5,000. Yeah, but it's good for an hour, but it's not the fair cut. And that's why I'm saying to you people, when you actually donate to the Zoom, the artist is actually getting 100%. I give you my word, a small percentage, 10%, will be taken and put towards the cost of next Zoom, because we just want you to help us to pay for the platform. And then when the artist performs, if you come in to watch the artist in Zoom and you buy a ticket, eventually we will have affiliated tickets, you know, but hopefully we can leave it that you just donate. And every time you donate, I guarantee you the artist is getting the most. And by the way, ask the artists. We've been at this now 10 years and we never took 1 cent. That's myself and Al Atkinson. The Mob Music Network has never taken 1 cent from any artist. Not one. And as an actual fact, we've got a lot of work for artists and got a lot of artists famous. I could name out names, but that's just me being false, you know. The big satisfaction for me is when an artist turns around and says to me, you see them smiling, you see them happy, and they actually give you a very, very sincere thank you. And you know it's coming from their heart. You can feel it inside you, the warmth coming from them, the gratitude coming from them. That's worth it. You can't buy that with money, you know? And whoever's in this world just for the money, you're missing out. You're missing out. You might have the fancy food and the fancy cars, but you're missing out on the real thing, you know? And that's respect and love from these people, you know? And people are beautiful, especially if you encourage them to be.
That's absolutely amazing, Seamus. But it's one of the reasons why, like I said, I gravitated to, like, you and Mark and Kirsty. It's a connection that I feel that we're not in it for ourselves, we're in it to help people and give them the platform they deserve. It's why I like doing my show, it's why you like doing Mob Radio, it's why Martin Kirsty have got Top Talent Promotions, it's why Al's got his as well. We all want to help people, and we need more of that out there. Well, and just getting to speak to you and just hearing the passion that comes out of your voice when you talk about it, it's really beautiful to hear. And it just makes me so privileged that I've got to get to know you over these last few months. And thank you so much for just letting me be part of the journey that you're going through. So for my listeners, tell them where you can find Mob Radio. Give them as much of the information you can. Plug away.
Okay. It's as simple as this, mobradio.org. Just type that into your search bar, folks, and you'll find the whole network there, everything.
And if you're really stuck, check the YouTube link for the description. It will be in the YouTube link. Please check them out because they're
subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Definitely. Give me several of the YouTube channels. Like once this is done, they'll all be in the description. The Mob Radio site will be on there. As we come to wrap it up, I mean, I don't like wrapping up when I talk to such, you know, great people like yourself, but eventually we do have to. So I'll end your grilling of questions with the question I ask all my guests. If you could give one piece of advice to anyone that's struggling with mental health issues at this moment in time, what would that piece of advice be and why?
Don't close your heart. Open your heart. Don't be afraid to close your heart. If you close your heart, you're going to go into the darkness. And the more into the darkness you go, the more isolated you'll be, the more lonely you'll feel, and the less ability you'll have to communicate with other people. Don't. Just open your heart. No matter how much it hurts, leave your heart open. And remember, you're never alone. I always say, if you don't have faith now, find it. You know, Jesus is, for me, the best one for faith. But if it be Allah, whoever it be, keep your faith, find a faith and keep that, because, you know, if I found that, I was actually asked the same question by this young journalist, and she was sitting in a doctor's surgery. She was sitting beside me and I got bored. So I asked her, what are you in for? What's wrong with you, love? You look very healthy to me. And she says to me, I'm here to ask the doctors about suicides, you know, and what he thinks caused them, and why do people, you know, want to kill themselves, and why are they able to go through it? And I says, but why ask a doctor? Why not ask a priest? And she goes, why would I ask a priest? And I says, well, think about it, I says. Right? Most people who commit suicide or kill themselves, it's because they've nobody to talk to. They're not able to talk. They've lost the ability to talk even to their family and friends. And so they want to commit suicide. If you want to find out about people who are committing suicide, why not talk to a priest and ask a priest? What would a priest know? She says. And I said, well, think about it. If people put their faith and trust in God and believed in God, okay, even at the worst case scenario, you know, you'll always have God to talk to. No matter who, you'll always have God to talk to. God is always there. So I say, keep God in your hearts and you'll never be alone. But keep your heart open, you know, keep your heart open, because always have faith, because it's just worth it. It's worth it. There's so many times I felt like giving up. Especially when I had to rebuild, you know, I had to rebuild my life, and I gave up, but I turned it all around, and I'm achieved amazing things. Thank God for, and it's, admittedly, it's mainly for other people, but it's still an achievement, and it's an honorable achievement. And the way I done it was I gave up smoking, I gave up drinking, and I gave up all the negative stuff, and I just became positive. And we all can do that, no matter who you are. And somebody, no matter who you are, you're loved. And there's probably people around you that love you that you don't know about, you know, that you think they don't love you, because they might say, but if you actually tell them for real, hey, listen, I'm having a serious problem here, I might be losing it. You know, it's something as simple as that. It might sound crazy. It might sound weak even, but it won't, because people hear that and go, well, what is it? Like, tell me about it. And that's the start. That's the start for that. Talk. That's it.
Brilliant advice, James. Thank you so much for sharing that insight with us. I think you've missed your calling as a psychiatrist, but then again, I think anybody in the performing arts has to have that bit of it in them.
You have to ask any agent to tell you, like, when it comes to artists, there was one there, like you were talking about one there earlier, she was running back and forward for 2 hours the other day, whereas an artist was having issues, you know. So like, you do have to have a little bit of it. But I want to say before you end the show, it's a pleasure meeting you, Andrew, and the likes, and I've met some beautiful people who've supported me, and I'm not alone. That's why what I said earlier, you might think you are. I've felt one day, it's nobody getting what I'm trying to do here. Like, even the artists themselves, sometimes they do think, you know, you're not getting it here. I'm trying to help you out here. Like, you know, mm-hmm. help me, help you, you know?
Yeah.
And an awful lot of people like came forward in chat and YouTube and came forward on Instagram and came forward in the Dream Team, like saying that, you know, and they give you the support back. And it is like one big family. And we won't always get on, you know, especially as the family gets bigger. The thing we will have to do is when young people come into, especially our group, Andrew, they're going to have to like understand that we do things a little bit different. We're not competing against each other. We're actually helping each other. Mm. You know, that's the difference. Because as long as the artists compete against each other, and that's another thing which they do in a lot of the countries, to create this environment where no matter where they go to perform, they're actually competing against somebody, you know. I heard even in England, there's an awful lot of towns and cities where you won't get to perform. You can't negotiate your own price. There's just a standard fixed price and that's it. That's wrong, by the way, guys. That's capitalism at its worst. Mm. I nearly suggest we have a union or something started there. But like, you know, that's what we're up against. But if we all band together, not the whole lot of us, because, oh my God, you'd need more than 5 or 6 people at the helm anyway, but we could expand and we could allow more people control. It's endless, but it's not changing. It's not changing that we want to change the system. We just want to make the system better. The system works. The music industry in itself isn't actually too bad. It's the people, unfortunately, who are running it have become obnoxious with power, and they know they have it. They know they have it, you know?
It's very, very true, Seamus. And we'll round off this part of the show with Ireland's favourite segment, Ask Andrew Anything. This is where, after grilling the guest for 46 minutes and 18 seconds, they finally get to ask
him. It was supposed to be half an hour.
Yeah, it was supposed to be half an hour, but I couldn't help but just listen to you. You're such an engaging and eloquent speaker. I just had to listen. So this gives you a chance to ask me a question. I've got to be 100% honest. This could go very well, it could go very badly, but that's all part of the fun. So Seamus, do you have a question for this mental ginger?
Can you make gingerbread?
Oh, if only. No. Well, here's a fascinating fact for you. The actual root ginger isn't orange, it's yellow. Actually, it looks a bit like pineapple. So common as ginger is actually a bit of an oxymoron.
Do you know that ginger is good for you? In many ways. Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. Gingers are definitely good for you, Seamus.
How did you get such a big heart?
I think I was raised right. And my mum and my dad.
That's a boring answer.
It is a boring answer, but it's sometimes the most honest. It's like Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is the correct one. Well, as much as like, when you're younger, you think your parents are arseholes. Sorry, mum and dad, if you're listening. When you get older, and especially now that I became a father as well, you appreciate how much what they do for you, and how any decision, good or bad, that it's just they're trying to look out for you. It was actually a bit of advice I gave to Emma in the last one. I gave her like dad advice, saying like, just remember to give your parents a little bit of slack sometimes, because they're human and they'll make mistakes. Well, but their heart will always be in the right place and they'll always be thinking of you. And it's something that I never got until I had Kieran and Connor. It's like you would do anything for them. Well, I'll drag myself out of my bed and go to a job that, yeah, it's all right, like people work with, but it's not the thing that gives me the passion. But I do it because I want to make sure those kids and my beautiful wife have the life I want them to have and I feel they deserve. And all the morals that I've got, like the big heart, like you say, like my willingness to put faith in people, it's came from my mom and dad. It's came from my gran and my papa. It's came from my aunts and uncles. I would say my brother, but he's an arse. I'm only kidding. Daniel, I love it if you're listening, but I doubt you are. But it's family. It's a Vin Diesel answer, you know. It's family. Yeah. But yeah, that's what it is. It's where I've got my roots from. It's where I've got my morals, my compass. I know who I am. It's taken me a long time to admit to who I am, because I've always wanted to be that bit of an arsehole to try and survive, but it didn't get me anywhere. I don't like it. I am who I am. I'm a caring person and I like to help people.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. Thank you very, very, very much. I'm so glad that you're on the dream team. Yeah,
yes, I'm glad to be part of it. I'm glad to, even if it's just helping with the posters, like the very lovely one that's behind you now, that I was able to cobble together in my spare time. If it's just doing something like that, knowing that I'm able to help, it just makes all the difference. James, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always, to talk to you. We very rarely get the chance because we're doing the top talent sessions and we're having to get things sorted.
Yeah.
I didn't have to, actually, in the last episode, I apologised to Emma for waffling on in the very first one because I just came off a podcast interview and I was a bit excited. And then I was like, oh, no, she had to mute me. She actually said, I didn't even remember doing that, so you don't need to apologise, but the world now knows I'm not perfect. I'm just a humble ginger trying to make a difference.
Yeah.
But thank you so much again, James. It's been an absolute pleasure.
One quick thing I'd like to add before we finish,
By the way, James, the floor is yours.
We're talking about young families and all that. And it's very easy when you think about it, like society. You can turn everything around. And no matter how hard of an upbringing you've had, now, this is me to any young couple that's starting off, who've had a hard upbringing, who may be still smoking and drinking because their parents smoked or drink or whatever. It's so easy to break the circle because music has that missing link, but actually so do families. And it's kind of a generation that's an inheritance where we inherit the lifestyle and it's passed on from one generation to another. And all you have to do actually is just say to yourself, I'm not going to drink around my children. I'm not going to actually allow smoking in my house. I'm actually going to, never, never let my children see me drunk. And once you break that circle and you see your children growing up as normal children and actually to their full potential, then it'll become so rewarding that you'll actually be glad you give up the drinking and be glad you give up the smoking. And even if you only decided to drink sociably, like go out and have a drink, you'd be so glad and so happy. And then boom, it's finished, because then your children's children will actually have a perfect childhood. And it's as easy as that.
Yes, indeed. I don't drink, smoke, dead, and I think there's actually shatterproof rollers that are less straight than me. So I'm hoping my kids will be all right. But they do have a ginger dad. We've got to be careful. They're blonde, so they've got a chance.
Yeah. Are the strawberry blonde?
Yeah, no, they're just blonde, thankfully. I never bought into the strawberry blonde, even with myself. I was just like, I'm ginger. That's it. Seamus, again, absolutely fantastic to talk to you. If you're ever in Scotland, my couch is always there. I sleep on it quite a lot. It's a comfy couch.
Okay, Andrew. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
My pleasure. So until next time, my three faithful followers, I have been Andrew Durning. This has been the Irish Assassin. That is Seamus Taylor. So until next time, take care. Stay safe. Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. Peace out, bro. Peace out.